Let's together take our Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalms 119. I want to use several verses from this great book to unify the thoughts that I'll be sharing with you today. Next Lord's Day is graduation Sunday. We're going to be recognizing our high school graduates. It's a great accomplishment for them and their families, and Aaron Riddlesberger will be preaching for us at both services, and so let's come prepared to encourage them. And today, during our Bible class hour, our kindergarten through fourth grade students will be gathering together both today and next Lord's Day for some special instruction and teaching and awareness. They are going to be learning about the country, the West African country of Burkina Faso. And, of course, that's why we're sort of decorated out here today. And this is something that's very important. One of the things that it enables us to do, it increases their awareness of the world, the fact that we're just not here in this corner, but we are citizens of the world. And we live in a global economy, and we need to be aware of the fact that there are people all over the world who need to experience the love of God. And as we have opportunity, we need to do that both locally and globally. And so they will be doing that this Lord's Day and also next week. I mentioned in this series of messages I've been preaching that one of the things that we wanted to do here at Cordova is to establish what we're going to call a pulpit ministry support team. This is a group of individuals who will be committed to this ministry. One of the things they will be doing is praying for the ministry, praying for the preaching here at this congregation. They will also be serving as a source of encouragement to me and to others who preach. In addition, I'm going to be involving this group in helping to plan the preaching schedule. We think about what we're going to preach down the road at least a year in advance, understanding there's flexibility, of course, depending on needs and circumstances. But this group will assist me in that and also give feedback for improvement so that we can improve our quality. Again, the goal of our preaching ministry here is excellence and effectiveness. And so we need feedback in order to accomplish those with our ministry team, our other ministers that are here, and also with our shepherds of the congregation. This group will be another group that I'll look to help me to sense the pulse of the church and what's needed. And then finally, the first task that we're going to accomplish is to complete this document that I call an approach to preaching. And what this will do basically is reflect some of the things we've been talking about over the last few weeks. When we think about preaching at Cordova, what is that all about? And so I want to encourage you this week, if you believe that this is an area that you might be interested in, I want to ask you to commit this to prayer this week, to pray about this. Does God want you to be involved in this? I'll be asking some of you individually if that is something that you'll be willing to participate in, and see if by the end of this week God really puts a burden on your heart. And if so, let me know over this week and the next 2 weeks. We want to pull this group together. Well, this morning I want to conclude this series we've been sharing with you over the last several weeks on preaching. The first week we talked about the person of preaching, and there we mentioned that the person of preaching is not the preacher. The person of preaching is Jesus himself. The role of the preacher is to point to him, just as John the Baptist was a voice and a witness of Christ. The second week, we talked about the process of preaching, the process of preaching. And what we mentioned there is that the process of preaching involves proclaiming and explaining a truth that's contained in Scripture, and this truth impacts life. So proclaiming and explaining a truth in Scripture that impacts life. That's the preaching process. Last week, we talked about the purposes of preaching, the purposes of preaching. And there we had two concepts. One had to do with God's presence. The other had to do with our perfection, God's presence and our perfection. We summarized that by saying that what preaching is designed to do, preaching facilitates a life-changing divine encounter. Remember that? So that's the purposes of preaching. Well, this morning I want to conclude by talking about the people of preaching. The people of preaching. And that's you. Preaching not only involves someone standing up here, opening up the Word of God and saying some words. It involves you. You need to be a participant. You are involved. When we talk about preaching and the purposes of preaching, we have to understand that there's a difference between being at home and opening God's Word and being here in an assembled body. There's a different dynamic that goes on. It's not the same. My role is not just to come and introduce you to certain concepts of God's Word. There's something that happens when people gather together to hear the Word of God. Now, what is it that makes an event exciting? One of the things that makes an event exciting is the crowd. Would you agree with that? Just nod your head if you agree with that. There was a story of a preacher who was going to give a week-long revival. You know, the revivals that used to have, some still try to do. And he was going to be preaching Monday through Friday. It was a small country church. And so he showed up on Monday night. Of course, when you have the week-long revivals, Monday night's always the low attendance night. Well, that week, that night, two people showed up. A cattle rancher and his wife. And so the preacher waited along a little longer, hoping that maybe some other people would show up, and nobody else showed up. And so the preacher went down out of the pulpit, and he says to the cattle rancher, he says, "Well, you know, there's only two of you here. What should I do?" Well, the cattle rancher said, "Well, I don't know a whole lot. I'm just a cattle rancher. But if time came to feed my cows and only two showed up, then I'd certainly feed them." So the preacher goes back up to the pulpit, and for a whole hour he preaches. He preaches, you know, he's sweating, he's pounding the pulpit, he's making his point over an hour. After that he's done, he comes back out of the pulpit, he says to the man, he says, "So, well, how'd I do? He said, "Well, no, preacher, I'm just an old cattle rancher." He said, but if two of my cattle came and they were hungry, I'd feed them. He said, "But I wouldn't dump the whole load on them." When we come together as a body, as a group, as a crowd, we get the whole load. That's what it's designed to do. Now, where are my 20 and under group? Where are my 20 and under people? Age 20 and under. Where are you? That you're ready to admit. Okay. Age 20 and under. You feel like you want to be 20 again, right? Okay. How many of you have seen the video of Michael Jackson, "This Is It"? Let's see. Okay. How many of you older than 20 have seen that video? All right. Now, let me tell you what this video is about. This video is a record of Michael Jackson's rehearsals prior to the series of concerts that he was going to be doing in London prior to his death. It's a rehearsal. But you watch that video, and he's performing exactly like he performs when he does the concert. But is there a difference? Is there a difference attending the rehearsal as opposed to attending the concert? What's the answer? Yes. What's the difference? It's the crowd. The crowd makes the difference. The same is true when it comes to hearing the Word of God. There is something different about being at home, opening your Bible, or being with yourself, or with your wife, or your husband, or your children. There's something different there that happens here. The difference is the crowd. It's the people. It's the audience. And I want to use a little different word here this morning to refer to you, because we're used to to using this word audience. And we call, a lot of people call this room, what? The auditorium. That's because you're coming to hear. You're coming to listen. I want to use a different term. The term I want to use is the term participant. Participant. There's a difference between being a spectator, one that just spectates, one that just watches what goes on, and a participant, one that's involved with what is going on. Now, what I want to do is I want to talk about the sermon. I want to use a different term in talking about the sermon. I want to use the term the preaching event. This is the preaching event. And I want to encourage you to become a participant in the preaching event. And I want to talk about and give you some suggestions. I just have four of them. About what you can do before the event, what you can do during the event, and what you can do after the event. Okay? Is that a deal? Just nod your head if you agree. Okay, thank you. All right, well, let's talk about this. There's a couple things you can do before the event. First of all, what you can do is learn the Word of God. The primary purpose of preaching is not necessarily to teach you or introduce you to the Word of God. What really should happen is when you are at home or during the week or when you attend Bible class, you should be getting the information, the content. You see, what this does, it gives you a context for listening during the preaching event. So that when I say, well, you remember when God spoke to Moses, it's not like, well, no, I don't really remember that. But when I say when God spoke to Moses, you're familiar with the story. And so you can build on the information that you already have. Now, for the new Christian, a lot of this is going to be unfamiliar. But most of you are not new Christians. Most of you should know basically what's in here. And so it gives you then a foundation. It's like when you go to college. In college, where are my college students? Oh, they're at school, right? They're away from school. Okay. But those of you that are here, you know that certain classes have what? Prerequisites, right? That means before you can get in this class, you have to go to that class. Well, in order to be a participant and an active participant in the preaching event, there's a prerequisite. The prerequisite, you have to know the Word of God. You have to be introduced to it already. Learn the Word of God. I mentioned I was going to go to these passages in Psalm 119, a beautiful book. It's got some interesting qualities about it. Don't have time to go into that. Suffice it to say that it's a psalm about love for the Word of God. Well, what does he say? He says, let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Psalm 119, verse 27. Let me understand the preaching, the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. So learn the Word of God. That's what you can do before. Another thing you can do before the preaching event is to come with expectation. Now, don't we do that? We go to a concert. We go to some other event. We go to a sporting event. What are we doing? We're getting ready to go. I was talking with someone about the Oakland Raiders the other day and Oakland Raiders fans. Now, those are some fans that get ready for the game, right? And for them, a lot of times, it really doesn't matter what happens at the end of the game. They're just into the game. That's what we need to do when we come here. We need to come with expectation. In Exodus chapter 19, we read about a story. I guess I did it, didn't I? Remember when? Exodus 19, God tells Moses, I'm going to meet with the people. So what you do is before I come down on the mountain in a cloud, you get the people ready. And so they got ready to meet God. In order to be an active participant in the preaching event, you need to come with expectation. In Psalm 119, verse 10, he says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Seeking suggests you're looking to find something. You're anticipating finding something. We need to do that when we come together. Well, what about the during? I mentioned the before. What about the during? And when we talk about the during, during the preaching event, when the preaching is going on, that what you need to do is to meet God. Remember, we said that preaching facilitates a life-changing encounter with God. When the preaching is occurring, you need to know that God is showing up in His Word. And whenever someone meets God, we find that they respond. As a matter of fact, I want to talk about God in all three senses of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. That what happens when a person meets the Father, the result is adoration and thanksgiving and praise. Psalm 119, verse 7, he says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. That facing the Father, encountering the Word, leads to praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Also, when we meet God, we meet the Son, don't we? When we come face to face with Jesus, that leads to a response of commitment. Again, go back in your mind about the times in which individuals met Jesus. What happened? They left a different person. They left with a greater commitment to follow Him. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 106, I have taken an oath and have confirmed it. That's a pledge. That's an agreement. That's a commitment. What's the pledge? That I will follow your righteous laws. We meet the Father, we respond in praise. We meet the Son, we respond in commitment. We meet the Holy Spirit, and what happens? We respond with empowerment. When we read about the activity of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, that we see that the disciples prayed to God, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were able to speak boldly the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is in our lives. One of the reasons is to empower us. Here again, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 133, he says, direct my footsteps according to your word, and let no sin rule over me. And that idea of being directed suggests being established. And he suggests that's something that God does. We meet God and respond. Well, we talked about the before. What do? Learn the Word of God. You come with expectations. What about during? You meet God and respond with praise, with commitment, and with empowerment. And then finally, after the message, that's a simple one, isn't it? What do? You put it into practice. You put the Word and the message into practice. There's always going to be an application, always something that you can do. As a matter of fact, how many of you actually take notes during the sermon? Let me see your hands. Let's see my note takers. Okay. If you only write one thing down, write, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a different thought. I'm going to affirm a different truth. I'm going to acquire a different attitude. I'm going to carry on a different type of behavior. We put it in action. James said, don't be merely hearers or listeners of the word. He said, be doers. Put it into practice. It's James 1:22. The psalmist has a word as well. Psalm 119, verse 167. He says, I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. And then I love this one, Psalm 119, verse 60. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. And so this morning, we do praise God because He is the one who has given us His word, and He's made it so that we can be involved in the preaching event, not as spectators, but as participants, active participants. And so the challenge to you is to do that, to experience the sermon, the preaching event, as active participants before, during, and after. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for your preached word, that we can gather together with your people to affirm what we have learned, to be encouraged in that, to come with expectation, anticipating what you have to say for us, that we can respond to you with praise and commitment and empowerment, and leave here and put those things that we've heard into practice. Father, we pray that we'll do that for our good and for your glory. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning, if you have a need for prayer, for encouragement, if you have a desire to respond in commitment to Jesus Christ in baptism, our shepherds will be in the foyer to respond to that need. Let's stand together at this time as we sing one more time this